Hello, 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 and welcome to Lamb. Oh my God. Okay,
42, first off, I believe.
I was just going to ask you, Andrew, what Lamb you think this is, because you're thinking it's Lamb 42 is almost like you're still thinking What's a Face is a current TV show, you know?
Ally McBeal?
Yeah, it is. It's Lamb 48, so you are six months behind. I remember, because I think you said Lamb 42 on the show. That might be Tuesday's show, but anyway. So Andrew's living in the 80s. He thinks it's Lamb 42, but that's fine because we need someone living in the 80s to tell us what happened with Cop Rock. So, Andrew, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, Thomas, but I really think we should get to introducing our special guest.
Goddamn right. Eli Busnick, how are you doing?
Woo! I planted my face into a pile of cocaine 14 seconds before the record. I pushed a Hoover into my rectum and hit play. Ready to talk about this. This is the greatest thing that humanity has ever mustered. Andrew has, and I'm just going to say it, a poem better than the one that lady did at the inauguration to truly bring us into the world of what we're about to see. I've watched 292 Christian movies and an additional 54 bonus ones. This shit blew my ass open. I've thought about this every hour on the hour since I watched it.
Totally. Obviously, Eli Busnick from God Awful Movies, of course you should be familiar, but he and I and Andrew have some experience watching really, really, really bad shit, making fun of it. This is a new level. First off, I just want to say, on behalf of Opening Arguments, you're welcome, Eli. I think you owe us,
I feel deeply indebted to you for bringing me into the world of this. I immediately scoured the internet for every episode of this so that it's in my soul. So if you listen to my other shows, get ready for a lot of Cop Rock D-cuts.
We could do a crossover if you want to tackle it on, you know, we could come help you out with that if you want. But anyway.
Literally the moment someone says God on one of these episodes, it is going on my podcast.
there are 11 episodes of Cop Rock, so we have I would say conservatively a year's worth of material.
Honestly, we just the next 11 lambs might just be this. Like, we could just do this. I had a similar reaction to Eli, and I just thought this changed my life. Like, it changed my life to know I lived in the same universe as this. You know what I mean? Like, this is 100%. I should have been told about this. Like, when I was like 18, they should have been like, all right, we have some information for you. Like, you know, I turned 18 in 2004. They should have been like, okay, in 1990, this is something we have to tell everybody when they reach of age, you know, like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like how they have to teach the nuclear bomb in World War II in eighth grade, and they're like, and then we killed a bunch of people with a nuclear bomb. The next lesson should be Cop Rock. They should be like, okay, now that we've softened you up.
You have to register for the draft or whatever when you're 18, right? Yeah, that's like another form.
Give you
Here's
a
the
DVD.
Cop Rock form.
You have to consent to live in the same universe as Cop Rock.
Because like, they're like, we could put you in a particle accelerator and try to get you to another universe if you want. Like, we have to give you that choice. You may just die. It's 50-50. We don't know. Still, a lot of people took that chance, actually. No, this is amazing. We have clips. We came with clips just in case there are any stragglers that don't know what's going on. We did Cop Rock, which is a musical about police in 1990 that really happened. Like, I should have made it more explicit. It's hard because it's like your mind rejects the information the first few times. This is a real show that really happened in 1990 with musical. How the fuck did this happen?
I'll give you my brief dissertation, which begins in 1983 when NBC's begins with the Etruscans. No, when NBC's chief of programming, probably the most well-respected young television executive in the history of modern television, Brandon Tartikoff. He was watching a taping of Hill Street Blues, and he passed a note to Anthony Yerkovich, who was the writer of season 3 of Hill Street Blues. And if you guys haven't seen Hill Street Blues, it was sort of like the first sort of gritty, realistic cop show. It was considered to be the finest cop show on television, and put a pin in that, by the way. So that note from Brandon Tartikoff to Anthony Yerkovich had two words on it. Those two words said MTV Cops. Now, Yerkovich left Hill Street Blues. No, hold on. This is even better. He left Hill Street Blues, and he turned that note into Miami Vice, right? Miami Vice was shot on location in Miami. It was super fucking expensive. It used contemporary hits in the show, right? So, like, the pilot of Miami Vice had Phil Collins in the air tonight, plus Lionel Richie's All Night Long, plus Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Point of clarification, though, were those artists singing those songs? Or were the police officers breaking into song? I wasn't alive then, or I wasn't really, I was alive, but I wasn't.
There were 9 songs in the premiere of Miami Vice, most sung by the original artist. That's crazy expensive. So crazy expensive that we will not be playing any of those songs on this podcast.
No, we will not.
Miami Vice peaked at number 9 in the ratings. Which,
on the Billboard charts?
which it launched 3 number 1 albums. But number 9 in the TV ratings. And the reason for that, which, you know, number 9, you're like, okay, that's good, but is that world changing? Yeah, this show aired on Fridays at 9 p.m. And if you can't remember what it was like to be not living in a pandemic, but advertisers really care about what they call the demo, right? The 18 to 34 demographic. And you know what people who are 18 to 34 not living in a pandemic do on Friday nights at 9 p.m.? Right. Not watch television. Right. So you stick things in the Friday 9 o'clock slot. That's the that used to be called seriously used to be called in the industry the Friday night death slot. Right.
Wow.
So they stuck Miami Vice there, and Miami Vice blew up. It was huge. And you guys didn't live through the 80s. So you have no idea how much everything you think of about the 1980s is Miami Vice, right? Neon pink and blue, that's Miami Vice. Sport coats over a t-shirt, that's Miami Vice. Ray-Bans and sexy 5 o'clock shadow, that's Miami fucking Vice, okay? So, are we doing Miami? Hell no, we are not doing Miami Vice. Now is the time for you to pull out that pin. Remember I told you that the thought process for Miami Vice came from watching Hill Street Blues. Hill Street Blues was created by legendary TV producer Stephen Bochco, who would go on to create L.A. Law, NYPD Blue. Again, one of the most highly respected TV producers of all time. And in 1990, as a response to Miami Vice, Stephen Bochco created Cop Rock. And that is what you think Miami Vice is if you've been living on a diet of cocaine and cocaine.
Cocaine. So. Yes. Crack cocaine. The cocaine that wasn't strong enough for your first batch of cocaine. And Laud Awful Movies listener, I want to deeply encourage you to go out and buy a staple gun and press it to your most sensitive genitalia and then write down the craziest possible things you could put in a cop musical television show. And when none of them are half as crazy as what happens in this show, let fly with those staples so that you will never doubt the majesty that is Cop Rock.
Maybe don't take staple gun advice from this podcast, but yeah, right. Gentlemen, are we ready to launch this rocket to crazy town?
I get that on a 30,000 foot level, as they say, that's how Cop Rock happened. That still doesn't really explain how Cop Rock happened, Andrew.
Nope.
That's
nope.
Like if you were like, okay, how did the fucking the Jonestown thing happen? And you're like, well, there's an area of in the world that had Jonestown in it, and humans also exist.
And we'd been manufacturing Kool-Aid and flavoring.
Yeah, Kool-Aid was a company. If you gave the history of the Kool-Aid company, exactly. And then we all walked into Jonestown.
That doesn't explain, Andrew, how people got together on a set and performed this. And like got through and went home and like told their wives and husbands of like what they did that day. Like that doesn't explain it, you know, like
I have lived my entire life aware of Cop Rock as a failed
and now
TV
you
show.
Tell us And now we find out about this. This is irresponsible. I want to know. I need a different lawyer, Eli. We need to find out what we can get Andrew for not telling us about this.
I had no idea.
Tortious interference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, so the pilot opens. Eli, you want to fly this plane for a while?
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned flying planes, because we're going to start with a helicopter chase. And I'm going to start with a question. Andrew, what year did cameras learn to focus? Because it wasn't 1990 when they shot this episode of Cop Rock. Were pixels rationed per household because of the Great War?
What I will tell you is you could splice in footage of Kaboom from the Atari 2600 and no one would notice. And I promise you guys are not, but Noah is laughing at that joke. So. Yeah. And the first sign that this is going to be a drama/musical at a crossover category with Population One is the way we watch the cops prance up to the doorway of this house that they are about to fucking demolish.
Well, but on the one hand, I'm like, okay, I see the cops. Where's the rock? You know, there wasn't enough music in the beginning. It just is a cop show. For a minute, but I like you say, they do the thing that you know, I love that TV and movies do, where like, as they're running up to the door, they've got the Foley or the whoever is like, come on, let's go. And like, why, you think you need to, I'd be the officer that's like, yeah, I know, we're going to go do the fucking crack house. Like, I don't need you to tell me to hustle up. Like, I'm here. Yeah. We're doing it. Come on, let's go.
The Foley guy was busy piping in the canned helicopter sounds, which they then spliced with the, like, 3 seconds of B-roll footage of unrelated helicopter in the air.
Oh, yeah, it's got News Channel 9 splashed on the fucking side.
It definitely does.
It'll be important to note as we go, Andrew, I want to know how self-aware you think this thing is. Obviously, okay, zero. But, like, also, there are times where I'm like, do they know? Because, you know, police reform, politically, all this stuff, like, we've come a long way since the 90s. Because it's almost funny later on how fucking stupid these cops are and like how over dramatic
it's almost funny it now. I mean, yeah, like, can we talk about the way in which they demolish this house? Okay. So they come up with an entire SWAT team, right? Mm-hmm. They're screaming, "We have a warrant," while simultaneously, number one, tying the door to an armored car to pull it off its hinges.
And just driving away with it. Some guy's like, "Free door!" And he just, like,
while sending the guy with the battering ram around to the other side to break down that door.
Yep.
And this will be adjudicated in court, although not properly.
I can't wait.
No. Later on. A judge will, like, do that naughty, naughty finger symbol.
Oh, God. So they break into the house, and one of our protagonists, I between the, like, 160 by 72 screen resolution and the fact that everybody...
Exactly. I later said, this is not 1080p, it's like 80F. Like, it's not even... There's no pixels. It's like 4 pixels. It's like a cute...
Pac-Man actually has a walk-on row in the background. You can't... Plays one of the crack addicts.
But one of our protagonists, upon breaking down the door, discovering a disheveled woman holding her baby...
No. Disheveled. Okay. A immaculately dressed suburban white kindergarten teacher in a crack house... cuddling her baby.
Her hair is slightly tussled.
Immaculate.
You're downright must, Thomas.
She's immaculate. She and here's the thing. She's not high. She's not, like, you know, on crack, out of her mind, whatever. She came to this crack house to sleep with her baby for the atmosphere, I think. Like, she just, it was an Airbnb. She's like, oh, fuck,
I was
going to
say, we've all rented the Airbnb, and you're like, you know what, let's just get through it.
Yeah.
I don't want to rent a hotel, right? $180? No, we're fine here. We're fine. We can do a night in the crack house.
That is, honestly, that is more believable than what this is supposed to be.
And one of our protagonists turns and screams at her, like, 8 different things, culminating with, How about the fact that you're unfit to live among humans, let alone raise a child, ladies and gentlemen, one of our protagonists?
Because they're like, give me your baby, you know, and she's like, I know my rights. And I'm like, what is that? You can't take my baby without a warrant? Like, what right are you talking about? Show me your baby warrant, and then I'll turn over my baby.
Oh, if I say he's a gun, is that okay? Ted Cruz wants me to keep him now. This is impressive. There are 3 seconds of footage and 850,000 cop crimes. Right? They're like just breaking warrants and assaulting witnesses. They drive an armored vehicle through the wall. It's incredible the amount. Like, I expected them to just be like destroying evidence in the other room.
Honestly, none of those are documents. Crimes actually in 1990. That was fine. That was totally, totally cool.
Then we cut over from the scene of destroying the crack house to arresting the fine gentleman and two women who were inside the crack house. And this is where you learn this is going to be a musical.
Well, here's the thing. It starts. This is why they get you. This is how they drive you mad with cop rock. It starts as a rap. So you're not sure if this is how cop rock just thinks African-Americans speak until the people start like potashying in the back. I was just like, maybe they think black people are just like, hey there, man, stay away from my house. I'm going to kill you with my crack rock mouse. It is. First of all, that's way better than anything cop rock provides.
I'm about to play a tiny clip of that too, by the way, because
are you going to 312?
I'm at 3, and I think maybe it is 3. There is a line in here that I think was just left in. Like, there's one person who didn't know this was a musical, and they left it in, and I've laughed so hard at this every time. I'm going to play a little bit about this. Listen for the guy, the actor, who doesn't know that this is a musical.
And he's just a dumb white cop. Made him mad.
Punk with a badge, called up a man. Worked all his life for it, 8 or 9 grand.
Shut up! Like he's not. He's like, what is this job? He didn't look at the call sheet, you know, or whatever. Like when he took the job, his agent's like, hey, we got a role for you. It's a done. Tell me no more. I'm
done.
A cop.
I'm in.
I live for cop shows. I don't want to hear another fucking word out of your mouth. Just I don't know more about the project. I'm in. And this actor was clearly just there to be a cop. And they start singing. He's like, shut up. Like, that's not like acted. He's just like, at shut all. Up.
It's not on rhythm. He's just like, fuck you.
He's like, it's like 20% confused. Like, it's not like, shut up. Oh, yeah. It's like, shut up. You know, like, there's a certain amount of it's like, what is happening?
Why are there
right
drums?
Look real petty with a gun in his hand. You take it away, he's a chump. That's right, chump. Better do what they say. Bust your ass all night. Bust your ass all day. You get shot.
This is what Tucker Carlson thinks the BLM protests last summer were, right? Like, this is what he saw while the footage was rolling.
Here's what I'm going to say something, and I'm going to lose us 4,000 patrons. But I just want to, before I say it, I want to emphasize that don't punish Andrew for my crimes. And this is pure information. I'm just giving you folks information about me. This is the same as Hamilton to me. It's the same thing.
Oh, my God.
It's the same. Like, it's honestly, I can't tell the difference.
I'm here for a canceling. I'm here for the moment. It's like, you see those videos where the racist guy is yelling at everyone in a Fresh & Co. about Mexicans and QAnon? This is your moment. You can turn to the camera right now.
I was picturing, Eli, have you seen the movie that features Andy Griffith as like the old school Rush Limbaugh?
Yes.
And then, he's accidentally on the air and is like, those stupid SOBs. And then like the movie ends with just the shot of him going down in the elevator. And you watch like, that's what our Patreon looks like right now. Thanks,
Dan. Don't punish Andrew for my crimes. I don't get Hamilton. I don't understand it. And that's me. I'm confessing that I have a problem. This is not.
Here's what we'll do. Just to make it better for the patrons. If you love Hamilton, one, you're wrong. Two, if you love Hamilton, change your Patreon name to Praise of Hamilton, and we will make Thomas read it for as long.
That's actually really good. That's a fitting punishment for my crimes. Yeah. I accept that.
Let the punishment fit the crime.
Yep.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree. All right, so now,
Shut up. Sorry, I watched that 40 times. Like,
I needed that character to continue through the show, though, right? Yeah. Like, every time someone started to sing, he'd be like, why are you singing? This is fucking bullshit. I hate it here. This is the worst summer ever.
I want to emphasize, the song, what's happening is they've demolished a residential building. Like, they've just, they've stolen the door. There's no longer a door. They're arresting the people. And the song is, in these streets, we got the power. Like, it's in, like, they're going to prison. Every- like, they're being arrested. And there's like, we got the power. I'm like, I don't, what do you, what? I, you,
every song in this is like the very worst Weird Al style parody of an existing style. And this is, and I'm 100% serious, this is a style parody of Public Enemy's Fight the Power.
Yeah.
Except it is arrested black gentlemen singing, in these streets, we got the power. So,
yeah, this would be like, you'd have them sing that to like the rival gang, or like there's one beat cop.
If this were
like,
West Side Story, yes.
Yeah, okay. Like one beat cop is like, I can't, I'm not gonna, I need backup, I can't, or something, you know, like not like, okay, we've taken your house and
we're
all under arrest.
House, arrested everyone inside without a warrant. Yeah. I've got the power.
Yeah, nope, I feel like maybe you're wrong.
It's the producers of the show being like, you should still be afraid of black people.
Yes, yeah, no, so exactly. It's yeah, super bad. That's 100% it. This entire show is police have a dangerous. This entire show really is just the right wing talking points about police. This is what they want to think. They probably still think the job is this.
And now. Again, get that staple gun ready, everybody. We will now watch the cast watch Randy Toy Story theme Newman sing under the gun. Not in costume. We break away from the universe of Cop Rock, and we just watch the cast like very casually appreciate, like, oh yeah, Newman's got some good tunes. Yeah, this is good.
Hi, this is Thomas, good. this is exactly four minutes in. You've got to play this. I went back and replayed this when the show was over.
I'm going to tell you, I think the song's not bad.
The song's great. The song is a Randy. You listen to this, and then you listen to I Love L.A., and come on.
Is it Randy Newman unplugged in New York concert for like 2 minutes?
For the cast of Cop Rock.
That's your theme song. They're all standing around watching a Randy Newman concert.
That's it. And they're very clearly actors. This is not the cops.
Gentlemen, I have to tell you that Randy Newman won his first Emmy for this, by the way.
That's baffling.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
It would be a great song for something else. Like, it's, you know, it doesn't fit. We just heard very scary, scary black criminals singing We Got the Power, rapping We Got the Power. And then we get... What?
This could also, we should point out, this could be
you
any
got
song.
A friend in me.
Like, yes. This could be any song and it would make the same amount of sense. If Randy Newman had busted and been like, the cow goes moo, the cow goes moo, I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, Randy Newman, have an Emmy.
Yeah, well, he came up with Under the Gun, at least. Like, that's sort of related, but but that sounds like a workplace comedy song, you know? Like, Under the Gun, it doesn't,
I just need to add here that while rocking out to this amazing Randy Newman song, they also run the credits, and it's 37 people you've never heard of. Mm-hmm. And then Ronnie Cox, the bad guy from RoboCop, right, as the police chief.
Oh,
and Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, baby.
From Ghostbusters as the guest star. And I'm like, okay, this can't be. You put Ronnie Cox and Ernie Hudson in anything and they're going to be fine. Spoilers, they will not be fine.
They will not be fine.
Ernie Hudson is barely in it. He doesn't. Yeah. I thought, I was like, are we going to hear him sing or something? Nope.
Oh, my God. I would love that.
He has like two lines. I don't get why he's even in it. Anyway.
Now we're in the courtroom, and we're going to learn that everything we just saw, aside from being immoral, was also felonious.
Yes. We learn that that entire thing, what just happened, they, recap, they took a door, broke, killed a house, destroyed it, took a woman's baby, arrested them all, and we learn that they recovered less than an ounce of cocaine.
Less than an ounce of cocaine?
Less than an... I think if you arrested Heath right now, you would find that.
I was going to say, there is more cocaine in two of my co-hosts' bodily systems than they found in this house.
Less than an ounce of cocaine. They fucking demolish a house with a SWAT team. Oh, my God. It's amazing. That's why I want to ask you, Andrew. Do they know this is fucking ridiculous, or does the show not know that's ridiculous? Like,
it has to be the case that the show does not know, right? Like, if this dialogue were written for any piece of media in the last 20 years, 100% you're writing the villains, right? Like, that's what this courtroom sequence is. They busted up a house. They thought they were getting, you know, the drug cartel, and what they got was, like, you know, Karen from the suburbs looking to get away and smoke a half an ounce of crack or whatever.
She's like, just cuddling her baby. The baby, you know what? The baby can't sleep. Yeah, Eli's been there. Sometimes the babies can't sleep right. You know, either some people put them in a car. Some people are like, she can only sleep in a crack house. It's a weird thing.
Don't sleep in a crack house. She likes the smell of a wet pipe.
I shouldn't be complicit here. They can only sleep. She can only sleep in a house that contains less than an ounce of cocaine. That's it. That's all that there was.
It's all the houses.
And Eli, Max is 7 months old now? Ten months old. 10. Okay. So
Max has had more cocaine than they've ever discovered.
Probably. Max is closing in on the territory, which happened to my sister, where her only child, my nephew, Sean, spent a year not sleeping, right? Just had what they call colic, right? And so Carla would like hold him and like vacuum the house at 3 a.m. or drive around or whatever. Like, seriously.
Wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. And seriously, if you told her like, what's going to have to do for you to get some sleep is you've got to go down to a crack house. Carla would have been like, bring out the crack house. I'm there. Yeah.
Better writing, Andrew. You just wrote a better show than we just saw.
As someone who's met Andrew's sister, I'm now picturing Carla in a crack house being like, okay, so I'm looking at your accounts. They're not great. They're largely cash. But we could work with this.
Do you guys keep your receipts when you spend your drug cash, what do you call it? During a sale, do they give you a handwritten receipt maybe? Or is it, do they have a register that you could, I'm just saying to keep the records going forward, it's going to be a lot easier.
I'm going to set you guys with a Square Up account, okay? You're going to get a Square Up account.
So I since this is perhaps the only thing that attempts to be law in this show, I should talk about it a little bit. But again, the thing to remember is that the dialogue is written backwards. The district attorney's arguments are terrible, and the evil defense lawyer who is getting the person that the judge will in 35 seconds call a scumbag, right? Like the defense attorney who's getting that guy released on his own recognizance is making really good points here. He's like, the defense attorney's like, well, we had a warrant. And the defense lawyer's like, right. And they announced that warrant with a battering ram. Which, good point. Right?
It was on the front of the battering ram.
This is why, this is not the best thing for comedy choices purposes, I realize. But I think the show might be aware of this. Because, they are setting up the anti-hero. No! They're setting up the anti-hero cops. Don't you think?
They're definitely like, damn laws always getting in the way of good cops trying to get their job.
Yeah, the bad guy's the bad guy. He ends up being the bad guy toward the end of the show.
Thomas Bethesda, Marjorie Smith, they do not think that there is a bad guy in this movie. Okay. I know the moment you're thinking of, and you sweet soul, you good man, you pure white crystal in this world of black coal, you're like, oh, what a good twist at the end. They show that cop's a bad guy.
Nope.
That is not the story that Cop Rock thought it was telling. Cop Rock's
have you watched the whole season? Do you know?
Every second of Cop Rock, as well as every found footage, the internet I've scraped the web like a supercomputer for all information pertaining to Cop Rock.
All right, I retract my statement then.
So we do learn in dialogue that was made less expository and more funny on The Simpsons, that the judge says, but thanks to the damn appellate court, being in a crowded prison is now cruel and unusual punishment, so I'm going to have to let all of you go. Which, again, is consistent with Eli Eli's report that this is basically like what Tucker Carlson's audience thinks happens today.
Also, at the last minute, mid gavel bang, he's like, and yeah, you can keep that lady's baby. Bang, bang. And Andrew, I am not the lawyer. Is that how it works?
That's not how it works.
Do they assign babies mid-sentence?
And this, by the way, this might be an argument for Thomas's self-aware position because I think it is.
I think it is. Yeah. It's too stupid. Even for 1990.
No way. Then they're the most brilliant comedians ever to create television.
Then it is an injustice that this show is off the air. But yes, so the judge says prisons are overcrowded, so I got to let everybody go. And then the district attorney says, counterpoint, the women's prisons aren't overcrowded. Yep. So you can lock up the two women we found in the crack house.
The crime was in a room. In a house that had less than an ounce of cocaine. That's their crime. Yeah, you're right. Definitely separate the child. No illusions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There are several hundred of our patrons who, you know, have been in closer proximity to a larger quantity of cocaine.
By this logic, by this legal standard, Andrew, we ought to expect a battering ram at our next OA live show, just knowing our audience. No.
I am in. Let's bring it.
While we're asking questions about, you know, is this how the law works, is court normally like a food court? Where it's like there's
people
like,
just passing in and out.
Conversations going on. Express. The judge is kind of in charge, but not really. People are just saying stuff like all the time.
Yeah, no, there's 50%. Like there's a Sbarro's behind them.
It's also like a classroom after the bell has rung, but the teacher wants to finish their sentence.
Yeah.
And so you're going to read pages 101. Oh, fine. Just steal that lady's baby. Just take that lady's baby. Speaking of stolen babies, we now cut over to the DA and the cop who hate each other because the cop didn't show up to court yesterday.
Yeah, and we all have the exact same note here, which is just like a bunch of question marks like, oh, yeah, DAs and cops hate each other because of the prison overcrowded rabble. Yeah. Don't.
Well, I went through the following thought process for this scene, which is there what is it with like this universal cop voice? You know, because they got the DA, the district attorney. And again, you're busting my ball. You know, and I was like, oh, it must just is that like a New York thing? And then later in the show,
his name is Vincent LaRusso. So,
yes. You know. But do you know where this show is supposed to be? Fucking L.A.
Really?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes. LAPD. They say it later. Los Angeles. And I was like, oh, my fucking God. You're telling me we're in L.A. and you've got the Detective LaRusso and the district attorney's up my doing this like thing like that. What? I live in California. We're not like that. Like maybe there might be like a, you know, a New York cop family that moved over here to be cops over here. But like, come on, the whole.
I think they teach the New York accent instead of the law to their police force. I don't know shit about the Minerva rights or whatever the fuck you're supposed to say to people, but repeat after me. Bada bing, bada boom. Hey, unbutton your shirt down to your stomach.
It's two tracks, like in college. Like the one is, you know, for civil liberties majors. That's where you learn how to do it. But the other one is just that Brooklyn accent.
Yeah. The best thing about that joke is it makes the show make so much more sense than anything else.
Oh, God. I love it.
Because later you get these idiot cops who don't know anything about the law, but do have a New York bada bing bada boom accent.
Yes.
Okay.
So now we cut away to in the squad car with brunette cop number one, female brunette cop number one, and bada bing bada boom New York cop number three. This dialogue's a little weird.
They are acting out a workplace sexual harassment video without knowing it.
He begins with, how come you always get to drive the squad car? Which then the very next line is, I bet you fuck weird. Like,
bye.
by being on top.
Yeah, 80s is like, let's not get crazy with that reverse cowgirl bullshit.
I have to tell you, right? Like, this is, right, I grew up with, I was like 35 before I learned, like, oh, hey, like, reverse cowgirl's awesome. Like, what?
Jeez.
I know. That's fucking pity.
Big law life, I guess.
It was rough.
18-year-old Andrew is on FetLife being like, my kinks involve being on top.
And occasionally, yeah, no, it was, look, all I need to say is we had a rough sexual education in the 80s.
All I need to say is I've watched this twice, maybe three times all the way through. I still do not know what happens here. A van pulls in front of them. Is it, did they ID it or something? Or, because no. Is it like,
the van is the photo negative of the A-Team van, by the way.
Correct.
It is white with a beige stripe down it. And it is going 32 and a 25.
And they're like, call the army. Let's kill it. Like, that's their response.
Every single police officer and armed vehicle, every gun in the California
state. How many
state?
Cop wives know how to use a gun? Bring them too. Like, it's bring like it's too. Like they're in Helm's Deep and they're like, the kids have to grab the swords too. Like,
and they use on the radio, you wouldn't actually use this abbreviation, but they say on the radio, possible GTA, right? Meaning
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Based on going 7 miles an hour above the speed limit.
And at this point, I have to share with you. I by the way, Lydia watched this with me because when I told her we were doing this, I almost watched it like, you know, by myself while she was working. I was like, oh, I got to prep for this. And I was like, wait. And I told her, I was like, you want to watch Cop Rock with me, right? She's like, absolutely, yes.
I waited for Cop Rock.
And so I have to confess to you the dad joke that I made to my wife, which is they say, request backup. And I said, singers. It's the kind of dad humor that you expect.
Go wake the kids. I want to do that one for them. Come
on. And the guy goes, the other car is like, yeah, we're the backup singers. And he pulls out a shotgun in the seat. Gets it ready and is like, gonna be just like hunting with my daddy, you know, and to which they have the black partner say, yeah, man, totally kind of thing. And I'm like, wouldn't the real line be, sorry, what? Like, this is we're just pulling someone over. Like,
pulls over the car. You want to hunt human beings? So I got caught up in the thing. Did you just cock your gun? That's loaded now. You're
putting a knife
car
in
with
your teeth?
Me.
He pumps the shotgun like a la Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2, right? Like, I mean, it's, yeah. No.
As of now, the information those two officers have is, hey, there's a van. Like, that's like
the end.
That's the
end of information.
Yeah. And so they manage to trap the van. and then Eli, who cares?
Tucker Carlson's wet dream happens.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
What they think.
Who pours out of the van? The hooligans wielding machine weaponry unknown to man.
An Uzi. I know it's an Uzi because I made the joke in my notes. This is like Tucker Carlson's fantasy of what cop life is. You pull a guy over, he jumps out with an Uzi and guns you down. And then later in the show, it said he had an Uzi. And I was like, oh my God, I was making a joke about the Uzi. But no, it actually was an Uzi.
It's an Uzi. He machine guns down a shotgun cop, and then his partner. Keep in mind, I counted a musical number was 4 minutes and 22 seconds ago. 4 minutes and 22 seconds ago, Randy Newman was like, under the gun. Now we are watching this cop wail over his dead partner. To even better. They don't say fuck, right? They're showing the cop dead, but they can't say fuck because it's TV in the 80s or 90s. So he's like, give me some flippin' help! Give me some flippin' help!
Fudge all of you to
You're
heck.
The police officer. What do you mean? Like, call the police? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Radio. You're the guy. What is he asking for? And they also, instead of teaching first aid, they must teach the New York accent. Because he just fucking violently shakes the guy. Like, he might be dead, but I mean, that's not helping.
Yeah.
while wailing, "Don't die on me, man!
Yeah.
Don't die on me, man!"
Yeah, I have to play the sound of this cop getting wasted by an Uzi,
please,
because it is
please
the funniest thing I have ever heard. No, it's second funniest thing. The shut up is my favorite thing I've ever heard. Here we go. Here's the sound that the guy makes. Ready? I don't know if that came through well, but he goes, "Oy, oy, 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 oy."
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Okay, so let's see. We've had arrest without a warrant. We've stolen someone's baby. We've watched a cop get machine gunned down. What is the next scene for our cop musical?
International war crime?
International war crime. Yeah,
there
Now, let's just agree that it is a terrible mistake that this is not a musical waterboarding scene. Because that would have brought me right back the fuck around.
I know. This could have been the funniest thing to ever, like the intentionally funniest thing ever to happen, but no.
This television program is four lines away from the greatest comedy man has ever created.
Yeah, it really is.
So, dear listener, you might be thinking, oh, Eli with the jokes and the exaggeration. Oh, no. We now star wipe to the inside of the police station where the good guys are waterboarding the other person.
Yeah, the driver of the van. Yeah,
right, the driver of the van. Yeah. And he's like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. And the cop's like, no, you don't. Drink down this water. And then, like, sucker punches him in the stomach while pouring water over his face.
Okay, okay. I'm not an expert on interrogation tactics, you know, the extreme horrible uses of torture in our military.
I don't believe you, but go ahead.
I'm pretty sure I know two things if I were in this situation. One, you can just pee, man. Just pee. Like, that's on them. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, man, I gotta pee. I'd be like, I'm about to pee on your floor, and that's on you. Yeah, like,
I do that in restaurants that aren't quick enough with the service, so I feel you, Tom.
I would be like, I'm giving you guys the chance to have me not pee on your floor. You know, like, this is for you. This is not for me. And then the other thing is, this quote-unquote waterboarding, or I guess coffee drinking that they're doing, it's just them pouring a coffee. But, like, you could just close your mouth, man. This isn't, like, a real waterboarding. Like, he's just sitting there. And then he just agrees to, like, open his mouth for them to pour coffee down his throat. Like, this is it's just unrealistic, is all I'm saying.
You heard it, Hamilton fans. Thomas thinks it's okay for cops to waterboard people.
I think I'd just be like, well, I'm going to not open my mouth then if your plan is to
pour coffee. Thomas to international victims of terror. Just don't open
your
mouth.
He's just sitting there. He's not... Come on.
Look, we can figure this out at the next Opening Arguments live show after we do all the cocaine that Thomas very clearly just invited you to bring. Everyone will have a turn trying to torture Thomas. If you get the password out of him, your ticket is free. We'll make it a fun game.
Yeah, promo code. You got to get the promo code from Thomas. Yeah.
Promo code OA!
Promo code is always OA.
Greed Chef. Maverick, the sport of business. You guys don't have fucking God's clothing. Never mind. Count your lucky stars. You don't have to advertise for God's clothing. A company of very nice people with the douchiest copy imaginable.
Yeah.
So we're done torturing. Now it's time for Frank, who is the cop whose partner just died, to lift weights mournfully while staring into the middle distance. And this scene, I truly had to stop, pause, and watch twice because I was weeping with laughter at how little weight Frank is lifting.
I do. I did the same thing. He does that. It's not an Olympic weightlifting bar, right? Like, it's the little, like, thing you get at the back of the Costco when you're like, oh,
God,
I'll give that weightlifting a try. He's got one 10 plate, a 5 plate, a 1. Here's how you know. The captain comes in a suit and spots Frank one-handed, right?
He's like, here, let me set this down for you. Just, like, grabs it with a finger. Just, like...
I thought he was going to let go of it and it was going to float away up to the ceiling like a lost balloon. Just like, oh, man, my weight's set.
And so Captain Bob Costas is... Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Does the captain offer to fuck him if his girlfriend won't? Because that is what I got from the scene. He's like, listen to me. Look at me. you got a girlfriend? He's like, yeah, Chief, I've got a girlfriend. He's like, I want you to call her. And then if you need to, I want you to call me. And I was like, okay, nice. Backup options. Here we go. Cop Rock knows how to swing.
I think you may be reading something into that scene that was not intended. But
agree to disagree.
Fair enough.
So now it's time to talk to a lady who is finally getting her baby back. Right? Yeah. The lady who got her
baby
stolen. And
this lady, by the way, is none other than Pepper Ann, baby. The voice of Pepper Ann. Fantastic cartoon when I was a kid.
Yeah,
one of my favorite. Anybody know Pepper Ann? Pepper Ann, nope. Pepper Ann. Okay. Nobody has fun here.
Aren't you just singing Barbara Ann with Pepper
no,
Ann in the middle?
No, come on. Okay. All right. All right. I get that my Hamilton-loving audience now hates me and I'm dead to them, but there's going to be a solid...
The Pepper Ann fans are going to come back for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Pepper Ann is great. It's funny. We always sing the song to our kids, but using their names. It's a good time. It's fun.
She's trying to get her baby back, but it's 1980s, so she is smoking directly into the face of the baby yeah. as she monologues about how much she loves it. She might as well, like, stub out the cigarette in its fontanelle as she's talking to the lady cop.
Yeah, and also, this is where we learn that the baby's name is Crystal, which I have to tell you, because of Dynasty, actually was one of the most popular girls' baby names in 1984. So, yeah, totally realistic.
Well, I thought it was like a crystal meth reference, and we were going to get like an Arrested Development style miscommunication about, and there's it was a comedy of errors. Like, no, I had crystal on me, but it was, no, ah. And that was the reason she was, anyway.
That explains why her son's name was Meth, though, too. That makes more sense.
I want to note, though, this will be important later. Pepper Ann says she doesn't want to go to a program which is being offered to her. Because she will have to, like, temporarily give up her child while she does that. Just want to know
wait,
later.
Thomas, we must talk about this. The only scenes that this character will have for the rest of the show until her final scene, which we will talk about in a moment, yeah. is... Please go to a rehab program. We will have someone take care of your baby. No, I would never let go of my baby. Not for a second. Not for a moment. I will never let go of my baby. My baby is my everything.
I will die all before you separate me from this child, even temporarily, to recover in a program and get better. I will not do it.
We can skip all the rest of her scenes until the end of this program because that is just the dialogue over and over again.
Yep.
Let's get back to it. So now the cops are trying to find the guy who machine gunned dead partner guy, and this scene starts with his name is Weeks, and they go, Weeks has got a grandmother. And I wrote in my notes, if they cut over to them torturing the grandmother with a cup of coffee, I don't know any amount of music can save this show for me.
How about an ableist slur? Will that bring you right back in?
Oh, the 80s.
No, we learned that Weeks's grandmother was mentally challenged. I need to tell you, that was not okay. Not even in the 1980s. It was not okay to have your protagonist use the R word, okay?
But can we talk about the machismo peeing that's happening here?
Oh my god. I think I missed whatever you're talking about because I was so dialed into the peeing scene that I...
They are peeing into each other's pee holes. That is the only
way... Oh, they are crossing the streams in a big way, yeah.
This character we get introduced to is like, man, I can't pee. Hey, do you want to hear about my dick not... This is the worst coworker ever. They have a scene where they're holding each other's penises, but he's like, mine doesn't work. Do you want to hear about how my dick doesn't work? Because, you know, thing. And then he goes... They're in the bath. They just shook it off. Like, they just are done peeing.
The drops from their penises are still hanging in midair as he...
As he reaches over to his shirt, puts on his reading glasses real quick, and he's like, this isn't one of your hairs to the guy.
This isn't your wife's hair.
And it's not your wife's hair. I'm an expert on all my coworkers' wives' hair. It's something a little thing I do in my spare time.
Sherlock Holmes with a swollen prostate, ladies and gentlemen. To be fair, if the rest of the show had followed this gentleman, this is the best television show of all time.
I get that they must be setting up that he's like the forensics guy, but like, come on, man. We just shook our dicks off and you're like, this is not your hair and it's not your wife's hair. It'd be like, yeah, man, there's hair in the world. We are in a police station where I was just in the food court, judge court thing where 90 people were like, you know, having pizza and having like, yeah, there's hair here. And, but the other guy makes nothing of it. He's like, uh-huh. And then the scene ends. It's weird.
It is.
Well, and the scene transitions to him in the car, the police officer with the hair, in the car with his partner, who is brunette lady cop number two. It's not the lady cop that likes to be on top.
No, it is.
Had a different haircut.
Only is it the same lady, it's the same guy. So we are now supposed to look at those characters.
The guy who has the hair on him is not the guy in the car with the lady.
No, but the guy in the car is the partner from before.
Yes. So I thought it was supposed to be something. No, it, yeah, Andrew,
these
are
all
lost.
Generic white people.
You're completely, I mean, yeah, no, it really is true. But I'm looking at it right now. The guy who has the hair on him, I think, is Commissioner Bob Costas or whatever. I think he's the.
Okay.
But the thing is, it doesn't make much sense because it seems like you would want this forensic guy to be detecting hair that's later going to be his own wife's. Like, I thought that was the joke at first. But it's not. So I don't, unless everybody's fucking his wife.
No, they just chose to make this character be like, hey, you got a non-you hair on her. But then, as Andrew just teased, and Andrew, let me spell this out for you because it is so crazy. It is only cop rock levels of crazy. We cut to the partners we met earlier who were involved in the sexual harassment video. It's the same two people. And now the show would like us to be like, they're in love. They just haven't acted on it yet.
Yep. Yep.
They literally have a moment where he's like, come on, we're partners. What are we supposed to do? Be in a car all day without fucking?
And she's that's a real line. That's a real line.
Yeah. And she's like, yes. And he's like, be realistic.
And then she goes home. Are we really sure this is a different lady cop? It's not
positive.
No, it's the same lady cop.
It seemed like a totally different. Seemed like a different hairstyle. Okay,
her hair is down.
I will rewatch all of
Cap
Rock right now.
Okay, her hair is down in the scene. I'm looking at it. Her hair is down. I think, and we learned from the bullshit dialogue that they went out for drinks after, and the husband didn't come. So she probably, you know, they have a police gym. They probably have a police locker room and showers. You know, different hairstyle. That explains it.
So she goes home now to her husband, and I 100% when this scene opened, I thought she lived with her dad.
Okay? Me too. Like, yeah. 1,000%. I think that. You can't tell me otherwise. I don't care. They kissed and were like, oh, come to bed. And nope, still the dad. It doesn't make sense. This relationship makes no sense. I would sooner believe that she just sleeps with her dad in a non-sexual way than that they're involved. I can't accept
it. Dear listener, in the 1980s, sitcoms followed a typical path, and that was mom and dad were both supposed to be in their 40s, but mom looked like 32 and dad looked like 47, okay?
Yeah.
This is not that dynamic. This cop is 30 and her husband is 75.
Is the crypt keeper.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a pile of mashed potatoes. And then he sings a love ballad.
Yes.
And I don't know about you guys. I had forgotten this was a musical because there was a torture scene and a stolen baby.
Yep.
When he started singing, I've taken acid without realizing it. And I once ate an entire sheet of pot brownies before I walked out on stage on a live show. I have never been more freaked out than when this gentleman started to sing a song at this point in the show.
And there are really two reasons for that need to be emphasized. The first is due to the terrible digital quality and the terrible acting. Like, you can't tell that even his lips are moving until the camera dollies in to close up on his face, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it is, he's just sitting there and a song is playing. And then halfway through, you're like, oh, he's doing that thing where you lip sync, but you're not really into it, right? And then point number two, this is the Weird Al style parody of the terrible love song from Major League, right? Like, it's, oh God, it is so bad. The part that everybody fast forwards over because that story was stupid and just shoehorned into Major League.
See, at this point, I just started writing, Thomas, if you're willing to delay this episode by a couple of weeks, we can turn this into Lot Awful Movies, the musical, Ideas for Numbers. I want to be clear. Pork the streak. I mean, we can do this. We can make this happen.
Okay. If you're done, I have 4 hours on this song. Sorry. Andrew had an essay prepared. Look. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm
the show
back.
Is called what? What is the show called, everybody?
Cop Rock.
Cop Rock. Cop Rock. This is a tough premise. Like, even the people who believe in this, to say the least, but even the people who believed in this show must have been like, this is a tough, okay, it's a tough sell, but I assume they must have believed in it because it aired on fucking primetime. They made the show. They paid the bills. They did all the stuff. They must believe it, but they must be like, this is a tough thing. So what you would think they would do is front load the fuck out of your show with the awesomest songs, the best shit, you know, like you, okay, the rap in the beginning, fine, you know, whatever. Maybe back then that seemed like it was fine. Okay. So maybe, 10 minutes later, do a badass rock song. It's Cop Rock. That's the name of the show. This is the second song, not counting the theme song, in the show. And it sounds like something that like was cut from Guys and Dolls, maybe. And the guy who's singing it is the dude who said his prostate doesn't work. He can't piss. And he picked a hair off of his coworker in the weirdest fucking way. And then he sings a ballad about his wife. What the fuck are you thinking? Listen to this. This is what...
Not much to talk
this,
to.
What?
And I know
what are you talking about?
What I know about love.
That guy was just like, my dick doesn't work. Do you ever have a prostate where you can't pee? And then a minute later, he's like, my wife is... By the way, this is also very much like the When Somebody Loves You song from Toy Story that, and if Randy Newman wrote this, I'm kind of borrowing from himself a little bit here. But I'm not sure that Randy Newman wrote all the songs. I was trying to track that down. Do you know that, Andrew?
I also tried to track down. There
I
is,
can't figure it out.
There is no resource on the internet that will tell you what the songs are in these individual episodes. And I, for one, want to thank the internet.
Yeah, you know,
those
laws
you know,
that they tried to do in Europe, like the right to be forgotten. I think that's because of this. Like
Cop Rock was the lead case that settled this.
They just showed, Your Honor, we can't show this in public, but in chambers, we'd like to show you this thing, and then you will just rule in our favor. And then, like, the judge comes out. He's all, like, just ashen, like, he can't even believe it. He's sweating. He's like, I rule in their favor. Right to be forgotten, definitely.
Having you play that is 95% of the terrible love music from Major League. It's so close. Like, if you're a Major League fan,
I don't remember it. Sorry, I don't remember. Oh. What are we doing? Oh, it's awkwardly, uncomfortably high for his range. So, and my wife, and she's the most beautiful. And you're like, what? It's Cop Rock. We haven't heard rock yet. There's not been rock yet.
No.
In this
show. There's rap.
Spoiler. There will not
there's been
be
torture. And there's been a ballad.
You're so right, Elay, that this torture scene should have been like heavy metal, maybe. That would have been fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. If they got like a because
Black Sabbath type.
Yeah,
you
I was
going
to say Ronnie James Dio. Like you wouldn't have actually needed a pairing.
Yeah.
You could have gotten Ronnie James Dio himself.
Metal riffs
to come in.
And get the cop to be like, tell us who he is. You know, like, and that would be perfect. God, this.
That does not happen. Instead, Elay, you want to describe the next scene, because I don't think I have words. God. For this.
Ernie Hudson, here's what must have happened. Ernie Hudson ran over the producer of this show's child with his car. And as his community service, he agreed to be in one scene of this movie where he will be waking the police chief. The police chief wakes by pointing a cowboy gun at him.
He wakes up the police chief in his office in the police station, and we are to believe that he is sleeping with a gun cocked. Like, what is he worried about? What the fuck? It's so stupid.
He
says, grab some sky, stranger, and nearly kills Ernie Hudson.
Right. And Ernie Hudson's like, hey, man, you got to give a political speech. And he's like, right, got it. These are my cowboy guns. They're from famous dead cowboy, Cowboy McCowberson. And Ernie Hudson's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Is there a way you could possibly top that? And he's like, absolutely. He pushes a button. Podcast listener, I am not exaggerating. This is what happens. And everyone, there was crafty, there were cameras, everyone here got to vote that year.
A lot of practical work,
He pushes a button under his desk. A mannequin dressed as a cowboy comes out. They have a draw, which the police chief luckily wins, otherwise I assume he would be dead. The dummy has been programmed to regret its misdeeds and begs for someone to send his best to his mother. The dummy. The dummy begs for this. And then he resets back into his closet to live his Westworld-esque torture out at the captain's next convenience.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the next time, you know, like if Egon comes and wakes the captain, I just wanted the other Ghostbusters movie. I have this note, and I think we've made it the point enough to where this will hit with the gravitas that I hope this hits with. I typed, "Dear God, this is more stupid than the songs."
Like, yes.
Like, if you pitched me a show that had song, like it's cops with music, and you pitched me it's a cop show, and this scene happens, I'd be like, the music one honestly is less dumb. Like, let's try that, I guess, because I'm not doing this. This is so stupid.
I'm convinced that's how they managed to get music in this show. They showed them the script for the show, and they were like, we have to put songs in this because then it'll become too absurd. They'll only make us make 11 episodes, and then we can scrub it from the internet using the Hague rules established by the EU.
But then we get to cut away over to Ronnie Cox delivering his political speech, which begins with, I get so tired of burying cops. And look, Ronnie Cox is the bad guy from RoboCop, right? Like, you cannot listen to this speech without waiting for ED-209 to come stomping out with the machine guns blaring.
It's like if Mr. Rogers decided to be the Joe Pesci part in Raging Bull. There's nothing... It's insane.
It's so good.
He has a little line too where he says, like, this hardest thing about this one is it never should have happened. And you're like, what, all the other cop deaths? Yeah, they had it coming. That was this cop death, though, shouldn't have happened.
And we get the mayor. This is gonna be really, really important for a musical number that we have to play. Where we learn that the mayor is on board with building the biggest, most beautiful jail ever built, and Mexico's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're going to – and she's going to call it Dead Cop Jail. She's going to – it's a tribute. Yep. The giant prison will be a tribute to the dead cop.
Yep.
Is that how you honor people? Like – It seems weird.
Oh, this woman's hair, by the way, is the reason we had to declassify Pluto as a planet. It is. Christopher Lloyd would, like, lick his hand and gently muss it.
She is Margaret Thatcher, so it's Mayor Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, yes. Margaret Thatcher is an excellent, excellent comparison. Because, look, we're now going to go to her musical number. And this had me befuddled because I was going to ask you.
This had me befuddled, he says. This is – I don't know how to describe – I died when I watched this. I died – to quote Buttercup from The Princess Bride, I died that day. Like, I hid from my wife. There are things that are so embarrassing. I can't be in a room with a person because it's – I'm third-hand or second-hand embarrassed about this existing. I sunk into the couch and, like, put a blanket over me because I'm like, I'm just by existing on this planet, I'm somehow complicit in this, and my wife is judging me that this happened is how I felt. That's how bad this is.
So let me explain. We're about to cut over to Mayor Margaret Thatcher's office where she has a meeting with her aides and the prison contractor who comes in and very clearly ogles her ass for like 11 and a half minutes.
She looks like Margaret Thatcher, just in case that was an older Margaret Thatcher than you're thinking.
Go ahead, Eli.
A less hot Margaret Thatcher.
I really mean that. A less hot Margaret Thatcher. And then she starts singing. And I typed up, she must have been cast just for her looks. That's how bad her singing is. They must have been like, ooh, who is this vixen? She can't sing. Doesn't matter. Look at her.
I need to talk about this song.
Oh my God.
I have a theory that everyone was given different lyrics from a different perspective about what the song is. Because Foghorn Leghorn, the jail contractor, he will sing a song about how great she is. She will sing a song about moral existentialism. And her backup male part of the For Him's singers will sing, repeat what she and he say absolutely arbitrarily.
They're not sure who's in charge of the song. They're like, which one are we? We'll back them up here and there. I don't know. Pick one.
But while making the hourglass motion too, the like 36, 24, 36.
Absolutely,
you know? Yes. When again, Margaret Thatcher is 40, 40, 43, right? Like, I mean, this is not an appropriate.
And by the way, it's all done as a ripoff of Space Cowboy of Joker. Listen to this. Oh. It's a different key, but it is that song.
I have that exact same note.
Yeah.
It was so great.
I'm glad Andrew could pick it out.
Please queue up to 2708.
I had 2630. So
we're listening to a lot.
Listen.
I can tell that you're the one.
Some people call me the Space Cowboy. Da-da-dum, dum, da-da-dum. Some people call me the Mayor of Love. It's the same song.
Yep.
Different key. So higher.
And the lyrics are way dumber.
The song had already come out.
But we're getting to the best line.
I put a little taste for everyone.
There's a taste for everyone. There's a taste for everyone.
She gets up on the table in the most awkward way in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes! I Was Born in Delaware needs to be in so many more songs.
At a very early age, was a pretty little girl. I worked real hard.
She can't sing. How far am I supposed to go, Andrew?
No, that was good. I'm so glad we both agreed that this was the... And now we've hit, like, not just style parody, but, like, that's fucking the Joker, right?
Yep.
It's literally the same progression and bass line. Do-do-do-dum.
Both made the note on when she gets up and the first word she belts out, that's kind of a question mark. But
yeah,
her opening line is, I was born in Delaware. Oh, God.
It's like when you write a song like that, like an old, either a folk song or whatever, and you're like, I was born in the something, you know, born in the USA. But it's like you have a story to tell.
Dover,
this one is as though they forced just a pedestrian to sing their upbringing. Well, I was born in Delaware and... I know I grew up, this kind of a small town. There's nothing. She has not. She doesn't say
anything.
You have
to get on I-95 and pay the toll.
My dad was a teacher and my mom just kind of raised us and didn't really do anything else. And do I have to keep singing? Yeah, okay. And I came to this town. And why am I singing this? I don't know. That's the song.
If Cop Rock was shot at gunpoint, it makes a tremendous amount of sense.
It really is.
This song, this is the corrupt prison building song. Does this tie into the rest of the show? Go fuck yourself. Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, the suitcase of prop money.
Give them credit. Give them credit. They invented that before Pulp Fiction, I guess.
Except imagine in Pulp Fiction if the interior of Marcellus Wallace's briefcase were lit in neon green and the camera
money, baby.
Focused shots on it like six times in a row. Like,
but so importantly, Cop Rock did not have the money for a prop suitcase full of money. So there's just a line of money.
Yeah.
It's got a special cutout in the
I was going to say, it has a convenient holder to be able to, it's like this was sold in a magazine of like, make your briefcase look like it has more money in it than it does with this convenient money holder. It turns $160 into $10,000.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we get another scene with Patty. Patty's like, hey, can I have some money? Lady Cop is like, no, would you like to go to rehab? I would never let go of my baby. Look me in my eyes. I would never let go of my baby, not for any amount of money, nothing in the world. Boom.
This is not foreshadowing.
Yeah. Well, and she's like, hey, I can tell you where the cop murderer is. How much money will you give me? And they say $50.
Well, this is like, 1980.
Yeah, but is... like, no. She's like, $50? What? Yeah, like, I'm on her. Like, don't even do it. I'd be like, okay, well, I'll just let the cop murderer go free. What, $50 fucking? When I tell you where he is, you're going to use $480 million worth of military equipment to go get him. Like, $50? Come on.
But she winds up getting the $50 up front and $50 if the tip turns out to be a good tip. And now we have another courtroom scene. So
yes.
I guess amazing. we're finally at like the second nodal point bad law part of this racist, sexist, ableist musical. And of course, Detective Vincent LaRusso is going to be on the stand.
Born in Orange County. Detective LaRusso, you're on the stand from Orange County. Like, what?
Hey. Now, Andrew, I want to admit, I know that you're not a criminal lawyer, per se, but generally when
Did you do the air quotes around that?
Good. Yeah. Anyway, keep going. You're technically my lawyer, so you will be a criminal lawyer someday, whether you want to be or not. But here's the thing. Do you just let a cop get on the stand and I'm going to say, yell at the jury until he's done?
I have the timestamp because it's so bad. So why don't I play it
Please.
Real quick? Because it is amazing. And also, I think this could be where I found out it was L.A. because I wrote in all caps L.A. ! 900 times. Here, let's see.
Overdramatic. You see this? 3 days ago, I left my unit headed for a coffee shop to have lunch. I get hit with sniper fire from a rooftop.
Detective.
The day before yesterday, a judge let a drug dealer go because the jails were too crowded. That same drug dealer, 8 hours later, murdered a 27-year-old cop.
I want this man.
You don't live in Los Angeles, folks. You live
Los
in
Angeles.
Vietnam, and it's guys like him that are making it happen.
Are you finished,
Drive
Detective?
A custom Mercedes that he paid for with glass pipes
I want
and
this.
Guns.
Stop!
He paid for it.
Objection. Permission to treat the witness as a really shitty over the top actor with an inappropriate regional dialect.
Shut up. We're only playing the audio, so you can't see that in the middle of this unhinged rant, when the defense attorney says, "What, this stopped?" The judge puts up his hand in that, like, I'm powerless here. Like,
no.
You know, it characterizes the defendant as a carjacker. Like it's...
Judge is like, what am I in charge of? Oh, shit. Yes, I am, actually. Oh, crap.
Nothing in the rules that says a cop can't play baseball. What?
So I kind of think you do not need my expertise, years of practice, and law schooling to tell you, come on, tell us what really happened is not the kind of question that the defense attorney would ask on cross-examination.
That's not a good strategy. When the police report is like, yeah, I arrested him. He had the thing on the thing. You don't go up and just be like, come on. And then the cop is like, you're right. You got me, man.
Officer.
Planted that evidence.
For real, though? For real, though? No, not
He's
for
like
real.
He's like sweating.
I didn't know if you were going to ask for real.
Back to your training.
In the middle of this witness just randomly expositing, the objection we get is objection badgering the witness. Now, A, that's not an objection.
Mm-mm.
B, that's not what's happening.
If anything, like, he's being badgered by the witness.
Exactly. Like, it's the harm is not
objection,
the badger.
The witness is a badger.
Yeah. The harm is, objection, the witness is saying a whole bunch of shit that isn't evidence. Like, that's an
objection in
thing.
Other cases? Like, yeah, like, as though that has some bearing on this? Come on, man. It's a hard day. Yesterday I got beat up. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with this case?
So, we cut over very quickly to Patty, who, again, is talking about how much she loves her baby, but she's here for her other $50 of crack money.
Yeah. Yep. And this is, we're back to using the baby's head as an ashtray.
Absolutely.
In this scene. Yeah. And again, I want to point out, right, because it might not be clear to the listeners. This is a real baby.
Oh, right? Yes. Like,
yeah, this is a real human being who in 2017, and I'm making this up, but like has clearly several major causes of action against Cop Rock for unintentional exposure to secondhand smoke, right? Like this person has lung cancer today. Yeah.
I do like how this child acts as an acting coach, though, because she does this big, like, oh, you're all sorry. You're all sorry, but you don't help us. We're going to be out on the street tonight. On the street! And the baby is literally doing the, like, ooh, bring it down a little bit gesture.
It's true. It's true. And we get this, like, kind of genuine smile for a second while she looks down, and she's like, oh, that is a cute baby. And then remember, she's got to be in character, so she's like, what would my character say? Yeah, you are a cute baby that I would sell right now. Now for some sweet, sweet crack. Like, yeah.
Spoilers, Andrew. And now it's time for another musical number.
I can't take it. I can't take it anymore.
This will be the first song that features singers, though. Like, people, they're like, oh, we can have people who actually sing. This is the first time in your show called Cop Rock.
Yeah, this is, Thomas, do you and I have the same note? Because you're about to play the song. This is the style parody of the James Brown church number from the Blues Brothers, right? This is 35-41 on the show.
Here, let's go going into it here.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
Hit it.
So good.
You want to go 35-30? Is that what you said?
Let's
check it out. Okay, we'll play a little bit.
Confusing every way.
Now you got some hard times coming.
He didn't know right from wrong.
To you, my dear, I want to make it clear.
It's guilty.
I want to thank the jury.
Yeah. They have turned the jury box, of course, into like a black church choir. And I just would like you to picture for a moment, if they hadn't reversed the normal racial dynamics here, because they obviously had to. They have the 90s white criminal. Andrew, maybe you can explain someday why this was the ubiquitous criminal of the 90s and everything was the white guy with the ponytail.
Yep, that white guy with a ponytail. When you grew your ponytail long enough, the government issued you a machine gun, an alligator jacket, and 800 pounds of cocaine. And a European accent, but it wasn't clear where you were from.
And you had to practice your death scene, like, oh, yeah, like getting shot in that way. You know, it's like falling off of stuff. Yeah. So it's a white criminal with a basically mostly black jury singing about how they're going to essentially put him to death. Just picture if they hadn't switched those usual racial dynamics. Like, they must have. Maybe they did at first. They're like, yeah, we got the white jury and they're singing about how they're going to execute the black. Oh, no.
Now, let me just say this. Let me say this, because I know we lost some patrons today when Thomas insulted the greatest musical of all time, Hamilton. But I will offer you this, patrons. If you resubscribe, we will make a Patreon goal where we will buy the rights to this song, hire a choir, and sing it when Trump is eventually convicted in New York State court.
Oh, my God. That's actually not a bad idea.
He's guilty.
Come on, we'll get Andrew in a little like outfit. He'll have ripaway pants.
Andrew, you can't sing, right? Or can you? I can't
remember. Oh, I cannot sing.
No. Okay, then you get to do hit it. You can be the judge. Yeah. Hit it. And the funny thing is, that cop, I think it's the same cop who's like, doesn't want this to be a musical. You see him during this, and he absolutely is not there for this to be a musical. Everybody's singing, the whole courtroom's like, yeah, but the cop is like, fuck this fucking singing.
Shut
shit,
up,
man. I'm serious. It's oh god. So
and by the way, this is utterly unrelated to the A plot, right? Like this is not he's guilty, the cop killer. Nope. Like this is just random. Let's what's going on in courtroom number 7? That's always entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we cut away that they have actually found where Tyrone Weeks is. So the cops are going to I have this judge down as Uncanny Valley Lenny Briscoe from Law & Order, if you remember that character. Yeah. And so they have gone to the judge to get a search warrant to go and presumably an arrest warrant for Mr. Weeks. And the judge is like, oh, well, the last time I gave you guys a warrant,
yeah,
you blew up a house.
I'm telling you, they're aware. The show is aware. I'm telling you.
It's
the show
not,
knows it.
It is not.
The judge is like, remember when I gave you a warrant and you just fucked everything up? And they're like, yeah, but give us one more.
No, the movie is like fucking judges, man. So much getting in the way of good cops trying to do their job, which is why the bedraggled judge is like, all right, you rapscallions, but no committing international war crimes this time, you hear me?
And then, so if we're going to get to this raid, they go to, now, I'm not from LA as Eli insisted I was for years, but I still insist I'm from LA.
He is from LA.
But we're to believe this is the LAPD driving out to Iowa, I think, to like,
there's
like
chickens.
A chicken.
Yeah, there are chickens. Like
chickens.
The chicken is predominant in the soundtrack to the rest of this movie.
Yeah, like just quick hop, skip, and a jump over to like, I don't know, Kansas or something to arrest this guy.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I would just like to reenact a little bit. Oh, do you actually have the clip?
No, that's either Andrew's dog or somebody's dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I was going to say, I would love to reenact what the soundscape of this scene is. If you guys could just do a little bit of cop banter, I will.
Okay,
I'll be the chicken.
So we're going to...
I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. We're going to reorganize.
Do we care about this guy's rights?
So it's like the chicken is arguing over a bill at a bar it didn't want to be in the first place in the foreground while the scene is happening in the background.
Maybe they actually were trying... While they were waiting, they were trying to teach the chicken the New York accent thing. Like... No, it's more like... You know?
Now, if the chicken had gotten a musical number that would have brought me all the way back.
It might have actually. Maybe that's what that was.
That was he's guilty and chicken.
This is actually a place where I do want your law splaining, Andrew, because we are to believe that the rookie, again, New York LA cops have botched the raid by doing what exactly?
So by breaking into the house before Detective Vinny here with the actual search warrant has arrived, which, by the way, yes, that would be right. That absolutely, without exigent circumstances, would invalidate the search warrant.
Yeah. I know I'm not the lawyer and I get everything wrong, so feel free to say that I'm just wrong on this. But they have visually identified that a cop murderer is in a place. Why do they need a search warrant? Like, wouldn't you be like, hey, the murderer is this, like, if you murder someone and then run in a house and the cops are chasing you, they're like, well, shit, we got to call the judge now. Like, I can't. Sorry. We got to call the judge. We can't go in that. What are you talking about? They know the cop murderer is in a place. You just go in and arrest him. This is not a search warrant.
Yes. Yes, it is. Right. Like, absolutely. The police, if you run back to your house, right, the police then surround your house and go get a search warrant. Now,
really?
if you
can see
and run
the killer, hold on. This is going to be very important when Eli and I eventually rob the series of banks that we're
going to do, Thomas.
When we rob the banks and we're just sitting there in our house with the money bags like around us, and the cops can see that we're in there, they're like, "We got to get a judge."
If they can see that you're destroying evidence or committing additional crimes that will continue, that's called exigent circumstances, and they can break down the door. But yeah, no, if you're just hanging out in your house,
really,
go get a warrant.
Okay, all right,
Thomas.
So that's a good life lesson for us.
Here is our bank robbing plan: we build a glass house. We rob the banks. We run inside. We both immediately sit down on the toilet and begin to take shits while shrugging our shoulders and looking at the cops like, not destroying evidence, just taking a shit. Those glass houses, once the warrant comes through, lead to a second set of glass houses, which they then have to get a warrant for. The judge's wrist is too tired from the first warrant writing. We get to keep the money.
It's a series of houses, and enough of them, then
right.
we get
it's a
away
Russian
with it,
nesting doll of glass houses.
Wow. All right. Okay. I guess I'm wrong. I didn't know you couldn't be like, the murderers, I can see them. Like, I'll just go get them right now.
No. Like, you can't go grab a suspect in his house without. Yeah. No.
Okay.
That doesn't
sure,
work.
I'm wrong. I retract my statements.
I did not pull the timestamp, but there is a fantastic line in which Detective Vinny is dressing down the rookie cops and is like, he's in there laughing his ass off because he knows more about the law than you do, which would make a great OA intro quote.
Yeah, right? I'm just going to say right there.
Oh, man. All right. Then he tells the little baby detective, go sit in the car. Yeah, 100%. That's what he says. Just like, you know,
I'm not
like
mad you at you guys. I'm disappointed. Okay, this show is a musical,
and that's a good reminder because 8 seconds later.
But hold on. I just have to make clear that I can't get over this. I'm sorry. This is important. They see the murderer. They go in and get him. But because they didn't have the piece of paper, then they would be able. The guy would be able to go free.
Thomas, did you write Cop Rock? I'm really starting to suspect you wrote Cop Rock. And like being a cop, you have to tell us if you wrote Cop Rock or it's entrapment.
That is true. That is a
no, Andrew. Point. Okay, yeah, they don't get a search warrant. He's like, yeah, I saw the murder. He was right there. He goes, he's free for the crime of gunning down a police officer with an Uzi because of that.
He's in a house.
Right.
He's not allowed to, like, it's not safe. Cops aren't vampires.
It's
Thomas.
Not on base, right? Like, yeah, it's like, okay.
No, but that's the premise of this is that because they entered the house without a warrant, he's going to get away with gunning down a cop with an Uzi. I'm not wrong that this is stupid.
I didn't say that part of the premise.
Yeah, that's
was not
the whole
right.
point, man. They're all like, oh, but, you fucked it up. Now he's going to go free.
But what they did fuck up is, okay, so I am giving
that's,
Cop Rock.
Sorry, that's what I was so, trying to say. Okay. I was like, this can't be right that he just
perhaps
has to go.
I as am official counsel to Cop Rock.
way more legal credit than it deserves. But. The way I interpreted that, admittedly, this is my lawyer brain, not my Cop Rock watching brain, but I interpreted it as them saying, oh, now anything we find in the house is going to get suppressed because this is a bad search. Right. Like, this is going to fuck up our case.
Yeah. But remember when we all visually saw him murder our partner? Like, yeah, we don't whatever. OK.
Right. That's he's yeah like
because the, what's about to happen, audience, in case you're confused why I care about this so much, is Detective LaRusso is gonna be like, there's only one solution to this problem that we have. I'm going to murder the suspect right now. That's the only way to fix this problem. And so I would submit, Andrew, that they think, the show thinks, the guy gets away with it because they messed up the search.
I don't want to say I want to say that interpretation never occurred to me as a lawyer while watching this. That's what I will say.
We're all agree
if I
here.
Can quote the great deconstructionist philosopher Bill Spanos, all meaning is lost in the eye of the audience. And that's especially true of Cop Rock. Did Spanos say that of Cop Rock? Yes.
He murders him. And then we get the can't piss wife singing about his wife guy, who is, I guess, again, the forensic guy, but might be internal. No, he's not internal. This is so funny. Because, like, what happens is he gets in there and he's – the guy asks him. So I think the captain, Bob Costas, I think, comes in.
No,
and is like,
totally no? different guy.
No, are you sure?
Positive.
I don't think so. I think it's the captain. I swear.
I've seen it. Cop Rock.
I'm telling you. It's the captain. It's got to be. Who else is it?
I thought it was the internal affairs agent. That's the only way this makes the slightest bit of sense.
Well, but he, okay.
Which is not a knockdown argument at this point.
Okay, LaRusso asks this guy, who I thought was Bob Costas, he asks him, what does internal affairs think? And the guy says, we're on this
internal
part.
Internal affairs think.
Internal affairs brought your story.
Then get out of my face.
I know you, LaRusso. You may be a great cop. You may be
so
a hero
this is
to
a
the
different
press.
Guy?
You may be a hero
That's
to
a different
every cop
guy. That is
force.
Not the captain.
But finally, when all is said and done, I just respect the badge.
Maybe white people just look alike to me. I thought that's the same guy. Who is that then?
Is that before or after? Because this is all the denouement. So we get the press interview with Ronnie Cox, which
yep,
in which he is asked, Do you think the death of Officer Cracker McHuntington has been avenged? And Ronnie Cox, and again, I just want to offer this piece of free legal advice to any cops or, you know, police chiefs that may be listening to this episode. Ronnie Cox answers with, the death of an officer can never be avenged. Try not to use the word avenged if
just
you're in
avenged.
Law enforcement.
Just wipe okay? it from the vocabulary. Yeah,
that's not a great one, okay?
I am so confused. I will never know the answer to this. So you think this is a new character, an internal affairs agent?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we asked him, what is internal? Because, but no, that doesn't fucking make sense. Because here's how the dialogue goes. This is very important. I need
I
to know the answer.
I agree with you, Thomas. It's not well written.
No. Here's what happens. We go to the crime scene. You're right. There's that little speech somehow, like before this, where he's like, yeah, avenged. And then we go to the crime scene and can't... Can't piss wife out guy is like, yep, no, it all, his story adds up. I think I'm just examining the evidence right now in real time for 15 minutes. And so this guy who I thought was Bob Costas, but I guess not, let's assume he's an internal affairs agent. He says, but wait a minute, there's handcuff marks on this guy. And the guy's like, oh, have I mentioned I can't pee? It doesn't work right. Well, okay. The handcuffs, those are weeks old. And the guy's like, I don't think so, you know. And so then he goes outside and he talks to the actual cop who killed the guy.
Which we just heard.
Yes. And he asks, so the cop asks this guy, what does internal affairs thinks? And he says, internal affairs buys your story.
Because he affairs, is internal affairs.
Yeah. Yeah, but he doesn't buy the story. Why would he say he buys the story?
He's speaking officially on behalf of internal
but
affairs.
But he's the agent that's there. What, who else? Like, it's like oh, when, sorry, I radioed back into this to the fucking internal affairs office and they overruled me out here. Like, what? That doesn't make sense.
This is like when Jimmy spoke about himself in the third person on Seinfeld.
Exactly. Right? Thank you. Yes. Correct, Andrew.
Also, the idea that, like, this guy came out here and just asked the forensics guy who works for the cops, like, hey, should I buy this? And he's like, yeah. And the case closed? Like, it's over. Investigation
case
over.
Closed.
He hasn't even taken a sample back to the lab or anything. He's still there. No, I refuse to accept that. This is the Bob Costas guy. Or it's okay. Some other guy. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. I have to watch
internal
the rest of the
affairs show. Gate. We need to watch this episode again.
Well, but there you go. Everything is all wrapped up in a neat little bow. All the character arcs have been concluded.
Except,
right? We can go home.
Except or the best part in the entire
so
entire show.
Patty, the never give up my baby lady, sits there and sings "Come the Sandman" by Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, indeed.
Which is such a fucking crazy choice for this scene. It's a lovely song, by the way, "Come the Sandman." It's
again, cop rock, and we're going to end with Barbara Streisand, but yes.
Well, yes, and if you're doing something in a show, there's a good 25-second part that's just piano while we watch the actor sitting there. You know, like, that doesn't really work for TV.
It looks like she forgot the words in a High School Musical. It's like, behind her, and she's just frantically looking around.
Well, I will tell you this for absolute certain, and Lydia and I both had this exact thought, and Eli, maybe you recognize this. She accidentally, for real, for 100% real, she accidentally wakes up the baby at the end of this part.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the baby does the thing. It's the funniest thing. When babies wake up, they do, at least our babies, they do this reaction with their hands that's like, what do you want? You know, like, hey, you know, like they hold up both. It's so fucking hilarious because they do this little thing that looks like they're an adult saying like, hey, fuck, you know, like, and so she does that. She laughs at it.
Yep.
Finishes the song, gets back into the moment, and they kept it. They're like, fine, that's good enough.
Yep. One just, take. Yeah. One fucking take. We don't have this bench all day.
After that, the baby shat the blanket it's in, and they're like, we can't do anymore.
And then we meet my favorite character.
The best.
Casual baby buyer.
Yep. If you watched the John Oliver, we didn't do the episode that had his song, but we get introduced to this character at the end here.
To the baby broker.
Yep. He buys her baby for $200. And he's like, hey, they gave me a car seat and everything. So,
and that is how you know this is set in the 1980s, because his, hey, they gave me a car seat, is in the front seat.
Yep.
And does not have a seatbelt. And I'm like, yeah, that tracks with the 80s.
I couldn't decide if it was like they gave me a car seat, but I'm not, it's fucking pain in the ass. I'm not going to do it. And therefore, he just like plopped the baby in the front seat. Or if somehow the car seat was in the front seat, that made no sense to me living in 2021.
Turns to the baby and he's like, hold on, kid. This is going to be a bumpy ride. And the baby just puts down some shades and drives off.
This guy is dressed like he works in an office as an accountant or something.
Baby buying
and office. He's like, hey, I got your call or whatever as we arranged per my flyer. I don't know what the fuck, like what this would be. As we arranged per my, when you found me in the yellow pages, yes, I will buy your human child for $200 cash. Here you go. I am now the owner of your human child. Bye-bye. And he drives away with the kid. He just drives away.
Okay. How funny would it be, though, if he drives away singing like, I'm gonna fuck this baby.
It's okay. The same, actually. That's the same. Nothing's more ridiculous than this. We've reached the singularity. There's no more that
There's
you can
no
do.
There's no lower.
Can you just sell your baby?
No, you do not need me on this to know. You cannot just sell your baby, and certainly not for
Parent
$200.
Thomas S. asks, yeah, $200 is a little light, you know, for a human child.
It's the 1980s. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that would be $11 million in today's funds.
And then she finishes out the song by herself. You know, now that I've sold my child, let me just finish this last little stanza here. And then we get finally the end of the show. The show ends and we get our first rock music of the show called Cop Rock, which is kind of a little different version of the opening song. This is 47 minutes. We're almost done.
Thomas, I'm so sorry. Do you mind backing that track up where you are by 30 seconds so people can understand just exactly the moment where that music comes in?
Sure. She sold her baby.
Sold her baby.
She pocketed the money.
Mm-hmm.
She... Guy's driving away.
Driving away with her baby. Wait for it. Stop it. I want them to experience it. I want them to experience it as I did.
Yeah. So ridiculous.
Fades to black. Credits come up slowly.
What the fuck
out of here! I need you to make me a promise. I need you to make me a solemn promise. When I die, which will be any day now, I come from short-lived stock. After my beautiful poet of a wife comes up and gives my eulogy, I want you to stand up with a boombox and hit that music.
But I'm going to give it an awkward 45 seconds of we're just...
Absolutely.
I'm crying. Andrew's hugging me. I'm like, I can't believe he's gone. There's so much more to do. There's Cop Rocks episodes.
to squirrel under the curtain.
Oh God, that is so good.
I actually did rewind back to the beginning and re-listened to Under the Gun because I just wanted to hear more Randy Newman at that point. Oh, it was
it's
so
not
great.
A bad song.
No, I love LA. Like, you know, we love it. Oh man.
Oh, I'm so sorry that took so long, Eli. It was too good though once we watched it.
We owe it to Cop Rock. We couldn't do this in an hour.
No. There's no way.
No. Someday my son will look back at this track and he'll be like, "Thanks, Dad. I knew you needed to do Cop Rock."
Max is going to check out the entire Bosnick oeuvre and this one. This is what he's going to be like, "Wow, you really hit the bottom
He'll
of the barrel."
He'll be like, "You know, I didn't get it, you know? Like I was like, "Oh, why is my dad always like, you know, I didn't have enough time for me. He just didn't give me enough love." And then I heard this and it all made sense and all.
Then I heard his review of Cop Rock.
That's our show. That I don't know that we'll ever top that unless we do more Cop Rock. It's the only
this
way.
Is our,
we'll see.
You should say this is our show now. All forward. Look, Joe Biden won the presidency. We did it.
Yeah, it's true.
The rest of OA is this, us reviewing Cop Rock.
It was like, in terms of things, the matter with the universe, Trump being president was number one. And then once we fixed that, it's like, well, okay, then now it's back to Cop Rock.
Now
existing.
We got
to
tackle like, Cop Rock. We're gonna interview an 11-year-old who wants to be congressman, and then we're back to fucking Cop Rock.
Yeah, and I don't mean for specials. I mean the regular episode. Yeah, regular fucking just be.
Oh, wow.
Settle in. It's a
Eli,
it's a
thank
fun
you so
life.
Much.
Yeah.
Thank you for ruining your family for sticking with us this long. But I think we can all agree it was worth it.
Absolutely.
You know, my poor wife is dealing with my kids right now. Yeah. I got to go help her, but it was worth it. It's fine. Once we're both divorced, we can live together and just watch Cop Rock together.
That's right. In our glass houses filled with money.
And the cops can't touch us.
Can't touch us because there's a house inside each house.
All right. Thanks so much, Eli. Obviously, check out Eli's stuff. I'm sure you have. But if you haven't, check out all the shows. God Awful Movies, Scathing Atheist, Skeptocrat, D&D Minus, Citation Needed. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it. I think you got it.
I think that's it.
Community Theater in upstate New Jersey.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next time.